Acts chapter 16. And I want to read just some verses from verse 25 of this chapter. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Amen. We'll end our reading just at the end of verse 32. And we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing on the reading of his own precious word. Just let's unite our hearts in a short word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. You might pray the Lord will have a word for you, and the Lord might speak even to your soul tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for our meeting this evening. We thank the Lord for the hymns of Zion we've been singing. And we praise the Lord for a clear, concise word of testimony. Thank the Lord, thou art merciful to Gordon. O God, we bless thee for the providences in his life that enabled him to be in those meetings. O God, we thank thee for the night which you've sought and found. Lord, we thank thee for each one that's in this meeting. In thy providence thou hast brought each one of us here. And we pray, Lord, that thou might seek and find a dear loved one this night. O God, this might be the night of their salvation. This might be the night they'll never be the same again, having met with Christ. We pray that thou would close us in with thee. O Lord, shut out every distracting thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Lord, we pray we might know the moving and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that thou would help us to preach thy word. Lord, help us to preach it in the power and demonstration of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. For we ask and pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Much has been the coverage and the comment of the superstorm that was to hit the eastern coast of the United States of America in past days. Lives were lost, cities and towns suffered immense disruption, and the clear up in its wake will continue for many weeks and even months in the days that lie before us. What disruption! And yet, in all the commentary, little is said of the one who controls the very elements. God is not in all their thoughts. The world only runs after business and the making of the money. And the great stock exchange had to close in New York. Other businesses had to shut up because of the aftermath of this great storm. You know, men and women, young people, sometimes God just has to reveal and demonstrate in a small way his almighty power. And everything of man's making has to come to a halt. And tonight I want to show you that in another measure, in another instance. And to do that, I bring you into a jailhouse. That jailhouse was in the city of Philippi. And it so happened that two of its prisoners were the preachers of the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Paul and Silas who were placed in the dungeon. The stocks were put around their feet. It was the same apostles who were to see a demon-possessed soul delivered by the power of God. Paul commanded the evil spirit to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And Satan to Jesus must bow. Of course, her masters were not pleased at that. Her masters were making money out of her, and they didn't like what had happened because their source of income was now gone. And so the apostles were arrested, and they were beaten, and they were thrown into the dungeon in this jailhouse in Philippi. That's how they came to be there. But look at them at midnight, and as the hours approach the midnight, and they are the most unlikely prisoners you've ever come across. For instead of being downcast, instead of being caught up in concern about their well-being or what would happen in the days that lay before them, they're praying and they're singing praises unto their God. And if you would only grasp that truth, that where there is prayer, there's also the power of God, that will be a great lesson to learn. For that is what is seen in these verses. For at midnight, God revealed His power. Oh, General Booth of the Salvation Army said, God gave His amen to their prayer. What happened? He sent an earthquake. And that earthquake was to awaken the heart of the keeper of the prison. And what flows from that, I want to tell you, is the greatest question and the greatest answer that ever a man could ask or receive. Words of my text show you tonight how you can be saved. How you can be saved. Verse 30 of our chapter, He brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's our greatest question. And the answer, verse 31, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. How a sinner can be saved? Let me show you, first of all, the acknowledgement. We know a few things about this jailer from the words in this passage. He was a conscientious man at his work. He was one who obeyed his chiefs. He was a man who was to take, I believe, his work seriously, because having locked up the prisoners for the night, he's found to be already in bed. He's sleeping well before midnight. He was getting the need rest for his next shift the next day. We know also that he was a man who had a wife and a family. And yet for all of that, and much of what it is commendable, he is yet a heathen man, and a man who has no concern over the things of God or for his own soul. But my dear friend, God was to change all that. For God was to take a dealing with this man in a manner which he had never known before. And in many respects, this man is brought face to face with God as a result of this earthquake. And that is seen in his response that follows it. You see, the earthquake didn't only rock the jailhouse. The earthquake was to rock the very foundation of this man's heart. And for the first time in his life, he sees the danger that he's in. Because he acknowledges that his soul is lost. For the Christian, he asks is, what must I do to be saved? Now, he doesn't ask that question because of some physical danger that he is in. Some of the modernists will try and put that connotation on these verses. That's not the case, because the earthquake has already passed. He already knows that the prisoners that he was to guard over, they're all saved, they're still in the prison. Not one of them has fled. That was the mercy of God. He was to hear that voice of Paul. He didn't know, I'm sure it was Paul's voice, but he was to hear the voice coming down the corridors and coming through the darkness where it said, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He was about to kill himself. And so the reason for asking this question is not something in the physical, but rather it is a concern over his soul. He acknowledges that his soul was lost. And he begins to realize that his soul could have been lost eternally had he died in that earthquake. I wonder, dear loved one, this night in this mission, I wonder, have you got yet to that place The theist where you acknowledge that your soul is lost in sin, that you're in danger of eternally being lost in a place where sin will be punished. You're not pleased where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Do you acknowledge that you have a soul tonight, a soul that is eternal, which needs to be saved if you're ever to be in God's heaven? You see, I remember the words of Mark 10 and verse 36. It says there, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8, I beg your pardon, and verse 36. What shall it profit you if you shall gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul? If you will not give attention to these things that are eternal, if you will not consider your utter end, then I wonder what God will have to send into your life to cause you to acknowledge that your soul is lost. What earthquake does God have to send? We've already heard it in some extent in the life of Korah. At the bottom of the ocean. And that was awakening thought. That if he hadn't been rescued that night, he would have been lost eternally. What does God have to do in your life? Does he have to put you in your back in sickness? Does he have to bring death very near to you? Or something else? You'll see that this jailer was to acknowledge the servants of the Lord. You see, in verse 29, we read that he came in, he fell down before Paul and Silas. In our text, even in verse 30, he addresses them with respect. He says, sirs, the prison house had other prisoners in it. There were others to whom he could have went to. But God had wakened him out of his natural sleep and out of his spiritual sleep, that he realized that there were two prisoners there who were the servants of the Lord. In the providence of God, the Lord had his men in the very place where this jailer needed them most. I'm sure when they were going through the gates of that place, they might have asked themselves, what are we doing here? We're doing the Lord's work. We know we're in the will of God. We were sent to this area, not to other areas. And now we're in jail. But God had his men in the very place where this jailer needed them most. There was Paul and Silas who had prayed. By inference, we might suggest they could have prayed for this very jailer. And God was answering their prayer, for he came to them with great haste. There was urgency in his soul. He acknowledges that these were men who could tell him what he needed to know. And so he comes, and he asks this question. And dear soul, I want to say to you humbly tonight, that in the providence of God, this mission has taken place. This mission is on your doorstep. And in the providence of God, there are God's servants here to instruct you in the things of God. We haven't convened this mission to speak of ourselves. We haven't convened this mission to speak of a church or a denomination. If you've been here any night that's during this mission, we have sought to preach Christ. We are here to point you, the sinner, in the way of God's salvation. We cannot see it. Neither could these men, these servants of the Lord, couldn't see of the jailer. But they were messengers, as we are, of the only Savior and as the only Redeemer of lost souls. And we have come praying for your soul, and loved ones and neighbors have prayed for your soul. And I want to tell you, some of you by name in the prayer meeting, that you might close in with God and His mercy. And it is my prayer that the Spirit of God would so trouble you that you would see your need enough to do something about it. Not just go on the way you're going. Not just go out through the door the way you come in. You'll notice that the jailer was to acknowledge salvation was needed. Look at this question. What must I do to be saved? He doesn't ask about the ordinances of the church. That comes later. He asks about the salvation of his soul, for that is what his soul needed. He could have been a lost soul in eternity by now, but God in his mercy had spared this man, and he was to awaken this man, and he gave him an opportunity to get saved. You know, there's some today, and they don't like that term. And you meet them up the street, or you stand on their doorstep, and you ask the question, are you saved? And they somehow take offense at that. That's not an offensive question. That is a term that God has given. That's a term that's found in the Bible. It's a good biblical term. You need to be saved, sinner. You know you're either saved tonight or lost. I'm not using terms that I make up out of my head. I'm using terms that is before you in this very text. This man asked, what must I do to be saved? You're either saved tonight or you're lost in your sin. And I tell you, sinner, you need to be saved. Saved from your sin. Saved from eternal death and damnation. And God has given you another opportunity. I don't know how many opportunities you've had already in your life. God knows, you know, but He has given you another opportunity, and before you has been brought the way of life and the way of peace. But I wonder, what will you acknowledge tonight? Will you acknowledge the need of your soul? Will you acknowledge the need of your heart tonight? And the need of your heart is God's salvation. This man you're looking at was to make these acknowledgments. That's why he asked the question. God awakened his mind. He awakened his understanding. God the Holy Spirit was working on him. And God the Holy Spirit must work on your understanding if you're ever to see your need of Christ. Your need of God's salvation. And here it is before you in this text. This man asks, what must I do? I want you to see secondly these. Looking here was the last most important question. I termed it the greatest question a man can ask. But you know, with the question been asked, he was to receive an answer. And what an answer that is, he was to receive. What is the answer to the sinner tonight? What's the answer for the one who is under the convicting power of the Spirit of God in fear of dying? In fear of going out into God's eternity unprepared? What's the answer to your troubled soul tonight, my friend? The answer is grace. That is who the jailer was to hear of. For the answer in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take note of the names that the apostle gives in reply there now. A lot of people today, and they have a flippant use of Jesus. Come to Jesus. He'll make you good. Seek Jesus. The answer of the apostle wasn't that. The answers of the apostles was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his full title. The glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who's the answer to the great need of every soul. He is the Lord. And that speaks to us of authority. He is the Lord, and he must be Lord if he is to be your Savior. For he is all power and he is all authority. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But he also is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is the name that was given to him at his incarnation. The angel met with Joseph, and the message was, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And therein, men and women, you have the meaning of the word, for Jesus means Savior. That speaks of a saving power. I tell you, man or woman, young person tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has power to save your soul, and there's no one else who can save you. And there's nothing else that can save you. Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's the word again. The answer is the Lord Jesus. Reject the only Savior and you reject God's offer of mercy. You reject God's way of salvation and you miss heaven for hell. Well, you'll notice there's another term. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that speaks of the one who is the appointed of God. That speaks of the one who is the anointed of God. He's God's chosen servant who shall not fail. And then, a woman, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that I have left before you tonight who shall not fail you. As the only Savior and the only Redeemer and the only one can save your soul. He's the only Redeemer because He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary. And He went there as a sinner's substitute. He went there to lay down His life for sinners such as you and I. It was Christ who paid the price of redemption, for He shed His own precious blood. The message of hope for your soul is Christ. He is the one who speaks in righteousness, and He is the mighty to save. For there at Calvary, He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. There's no other way to the Father but through the Son. You've often heard it, I'm sure. John 14 and 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other way. Not a set of rules. Not a church. Christ alone. The answer for Kilkeel tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer for Ulster tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer for this island tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has died. Yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Men and women, the work of the cross, the work to save His people is completed. He has cried, it is finished. Without He bowed His head. He committed His spirit unto God, and God was satisfied, His justice was satisfied, for Christ paid the full penalty for sin, and as a result He has purchased a full and free salvation to the whosoever that will come. Do you know Him tonight? And then ask Him, do you use His name as a swear word and put it into the gutter? I'm asking, do you know Him tonight as your Savior? Do you know Him tonight as your Redeemer? Do you know Him tonight as your Lord? I'm not asking what church you go to tonight. I'm asking, are you saved? The answer here pointed the jailer to the only Savior. The answer, furthermore, that the jailer was to receive was a command. The answer of the apostle was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't enough to know about Christ. He had to exercise the gift of faith and believe in Him to the saving of a soul. Now listen to me good and tight. I want you to hear this. You beware of anyone who tells you that it's enough that Jesus died on the cross and that's all you need to know. I've heard boys with round collars on saying that. And you beware of that. His work is enough to save you from your sin, yes. But the work of Christ on the cross, it needs to be applied by faith to your own heart. and to your soul. You think of the lamb in the night of the Passover in the Old Testament. That lamb had to be slain. It's a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Calvary. That lamb had to be slain. But its blood was shed and its blood was collected. And that blood, it had to be applied. It had to be appropriated to the home. And then they would shelter under the blood from the death angel. And so it is with you, my friend. You need to have the work of Christ applied to your heart. It's not enough to know that Jesus died, but you need to believe that Jesus died for me, the sinner. And by faith, you're resting your all upon Him then. You're resting your life. You're resting your death. You're resting your soul's well-being for all eternity on Christ. That's what it is to experience the new birth. And to be saved. You see, men and women, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 10 and verse 10, our brother read the verse 13 earlier on. Verse 10 says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder, have you believed with all your heart and soul that Christ is the answer for me? What He did there on the cross and the work that He finished, it wasn't just in a general sense, but there on the cross He was dying for an old sinner like me. He shed His blood for a sinner like me. And I am taking Him by faith. I am embracing Him as my Savior and as my Redeemer to save me from all my sin. You notice the answer was concise. It was a short answer. Now, probably the apostles had other things to say to this jailer, which is not recorded. But here it is in summary of it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I want to say this. The way to be saved is not complicated. It's not complicated, and even a little child can understand it. And thank God, the Lord saves the children. It's not enough. It's not through some process either. It starts at baptism, then confirmation, and a half a dozen other things over a number of years. No, God's salvation is concise. It is in an instant. It is in a moment of time. And as we see that even with this jailer, God help me never to be a preacher that will complicate the gospel message. For it's not complicated. Dear loved one, without Christ in this meeting, you who are lost in your sin, the answer still is tonight. What must I do to be saved, preacher? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, that you would not be like Naaman. For Naaman in the Old Testament thought the answer couldn't be as simple. We read in 2 Kings 5 and 13, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? He was told to go and wash in Jordan, and he would be cleansed from his leprosy. And he thought it was too simple. It is my prayer that you would not have such a response tonight. That you wouldn't be like Naaman. But by faith, simple, childlike faith, no matter what age you are, that simply you would come and wash and be clean tonight. Wash in the Savior's blood by faith and have all your guilty stains washed away. And be declared by God as one who's justified. Just as if you'd never sinned. That's your answer. That's the answer for the need of your heart tonight. And I want to show you thirdly, there's an assurance here. The jailer understood what he had to do. And with the answer that he received came an assurance that the sinner who comes to the Savior tonight will also have, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. What's the assurance? The assurance was one of conversion. Thou shalt be saved. The Lord never breaks any of his promises. Not a word of his promise shall ever fall to the ground. He has said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. The assurance to the jailer under conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit was that if he received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, he would be converted from his sins there and then. He would be saved from eternal death. His soul would be saved from being lost forever in a Christless eternity. And my friend, that is the assurance that God gives to you tonight also in salvation. And I tell you, that is what you need tonight. You need to repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Your sin has taken you to a lost eternity. Your sin is come in your soul. And that is what you need tonight. You need to be converted. Converted up from the devil unto God. Converted from your sin unto the Savior. But you know, the assurance went further. It wasn't only one of conversion. The assurance concerned his children. I believe this father, awakened by the earthquake to escape before God, realized that he also had a family at home that were lost. And that's why he was too awake to say and to ask this question. He realized here and then that he had a family at home that needed God's salvation. And that's why part of the answer that the apostle gives was, thou shalt be saved and thy house. The Lord was able to save him. He was able to save his children. He was able to save his wife as well if she wasn't saved. And thank God his power is not diminished tonight. He is able to save the souls of our children and of our families. And Father, if you have no concern about your own soul, what about the children you brought into the world? Are they going to follow your footsteps into the pub? Are they going to follow your footsteps to hell? Mother, what about the daughters? What about the daughters tonight that are still without Christ? You've sat in many a meeting and you've gone out rejecting the Lord. What about the family? Thank God the Lord is able to save the children. And each of us have loved ones outside of Christ and still in their sin. And maybe that soul tonight is you. Maybe you are that son. Maybe you are that daughter tonight. Maybe you are that one that is the cause of a mother or father on their knees much and with tears running down their cheeks. Maybe you've been mentioned by name in our prayer meetings, and that has been so because there are those who love you for Christ. They have a concern for your soul. God can save the children. God can save the husband. He did so with this jailer, and this man was to know his soul salvation. For notice, the assurance was to bring about a change. God's salvation always brings about a change. If you hear of a salvation and it doesn't bring about a change, it's spurious. It's not the message of this book. This man was saved, and there were the signs of grace that in his life that were to follow. You only look at verse 32, the very next verse to our text. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. He had a desire to hear more of God's word. Here was a man, and he wanted to know more of Christ, the one who had saved him. The true child of God will want to learn more of God's word. They'll want to grow. And the change meant that he wanted to bear testimony to all around what the Lord had done for him. And so he was baptized along with the others in his house who were saved that night. There was rejoicing about him now. A rejoicing that had not been there before, where before there was a fear and a trembling, there now was a rejoicing. Verse 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. Man, I want to tell you, God can cause you to rejoice tonight. Have a joy unspeakable that's full of glory. A joy that you'll not find among the old cronies. A joy that you'll not find at the bottom of a glass. A joy that is lasting. He fed God's servants. He washed their wounds, even though he wasn't the one that beat them. It's very possible he too would have joined himself under the church at Philippi. We know there was a church there because you have the book in the New Testament, Philippians. Even though there had been obvious signs in joining himself under the believers, I believe he did so. The hymn writer puts it like this: what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus come into my heart. Can you say that tonight? Have you known this change? If not, then will you not come now? Will you not see the change that the Lord makes and is able to make in a life such as yours? I tell you something, your wife will see it. And your children will see it. And your neighbors will see it. You'll not need to put an advert in the paper. They'll see it. And they'll know what has happened. And you know, you could be the means of bringing others to the Savior as well, just as this father was. I wonder, will you come tonight? What must I do to be saved? And saved you must, as God says, you must be born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. May God have you to experience what this jailer did that night, for his glory's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. The meeting is over. It is our prayer that God's Spirit might write that word in your soul. Dear soul, if you're not saved, that you might close in with the Savior tonight. We've sought to keep it simple. It's not complicated. The work as it was paid at the greatest price, even the shedding of the Savior's blood. But the answer is not complicated for a sinner like you. You just come as you are. You can't clean up your life first. You just come as you are. And God will not turn you away. There is a little booklet at the back there, A New Beginning. Do take it. Your trouble of soul tonight's free. It'll explain to you the way of God's salvation. As we said earlier on, we're God's servants here as well. You want to speak to us? You're troubled? You want to ask us something? Just say to us at the door. Stay behind. We'll gladly open the Scriptures to you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the simplicity of the Gospel message. We thank Thee, Lord, for the work that has been wrought at Calvary's cross. O Lord, we recognize it was bought at the highest price, even the giving of Thy dear Son, the shedding of His own precious blood, that all sinners and wretches such as we might be saved and have eternal life. I pray that Thou would speak closing seconds of this meeting to those that are without Christ. They might recognize what this jailer was to, that of a soul that is lost, and a soul that is in danger of being eternally lost. And yet we thank Thee, Lord, that he was to receive the answer. We thank Thee tonight, the answer is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God, give the gift of faith tonight. of repentance of sin. We pray that souls might put their faith and trust in Christ and the finished work of the cross. O God, answer prayer. Lord, answer the prayer of a godly mother or father tonight. Maybe in the glory. And yet they have a son. They have a daughter still out in the mountain, wild and bare. Lord, we pray this might be the night that the shepherd will seek and find them, and there'll be great cause for rejoicing. Answer prayer for us. Heart is in thy fear, thy fever. Give journey mercies home. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name.